This morning, we want to continue with our thought, what God has been feeding into our spirits, that this month is our month of victory. Amen? And remember that whatever God says continues. So March, the end of March, doesn't mean that your victory has ended, and in April, no more victory. No, it means victory henceforth. Amen? Your thought, the way you think, must be that way. Because the word of God says God has made us more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Whatsoever has been born of God overcomes the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Then you overcome.
Amen.
You're an overcomer.
Amen.
Praise God. And overcomers are victors. Hallelujah. There's nothing else that you should see about you other than that. The word of God says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to look at that for a quick moment. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 3 and verse 4 real quickly. It says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his what? Commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They are not irksome. They are not burdensome. In other words, first thing God says is this, that you are going to be a victor in living out his commandments. Is that amazing? That the commandments are not going to trump you. You are going to trump it because you've been born of God. So if God says don't lie, you won't lie. No matter what the challenges are, you won't lie. You overcome the temptation to lie. You overcome the temptation to be covetous, to be envious, to be greedy, to use the name of the Lord God Almighty in vain. You overcome that spirit that causes you not to want to rest and have the Sabbath of God, because you think, I got to work until I die. No, I get to rest because God says rest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. When it says overcomes the world, it means everything that the world has to throw at you. It says you have the grace to overcome it. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world. Our faith, praise God, our believing that what God says is true about us. But watch this next verse, I like this. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that important? It is important because of what we're going to be celebrating in about 2 weeks. That Jesus came, paid the price of redemption and deliverance, and gave us the victory. Gave us resurrection life. Hallelujah. That when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that means that the very Son of God, and watch this now, watch this, it's important. If Jesus is the Son of God and he is God, then the price that God paid for me to be victorious, for me to be delivered, for me to be set free, for me to be saved, The price that God paid for me to be redeemed was the price of the cost of God, which means that the value that God placed on my life was no longer the value of Michael Efizino, but the price of God Himself. He changed my value, my worth. Ay, 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 ay. If He did that, what else won't He do? What is He going to hold back? There's nothing to hold back. And that's why victory is ordained. And this is the victory. Who is he that overcometh? So what basically, if this is the victory, and who is it that overcometh, and both of them are tied to that which is born of God, then God was calling me victor. Simple. Praise God. I am victorious. I am victor, not victim, overcomer. Hallelujah. An overachiever, not underachiever. Because God has greater things in store for my life. Do you receive that? Well, the passage of scripture that the Lord wants me to share with us today is one that you know very well. If I say 1 Chronicles 20:20, you will know that verse, right? Yeah. It's one of those verses in the scripture that most believers know. They know the word of God says right there that when we believe in God, we get established. You have a good, solid foundation. When we believe in His prophets, we get to prosper, we get to succeed, we get to advance. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to take my keynote verse from verse 15 and then build the case that the Lord wants us to receive today. In the 15th verse, it says, and he said, hearken ye, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not what? Afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is what? Not yours. The battle is what? Not yours. The battle is what? Not yours, but God's. This is the prophetic declaration that came out of the mouth of a prophet called Jahaziel. Jahaziel means beheld of God. One that God has beholden, and he rises up and he declares to all Judah and all Jerusalem, and he says to the king Jehoshaphat, don't be afraid, don't get dismayed because of the great multitude that has come against you. Now, what multitude was this? The Bible tells us about the multitude. When we go back to verse 3, the Bible says, Jehoshaphat feared. He feared what? What news he got in verse 2? In verse 2, the Bible says, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude, against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. There's an enemy force coming against you, Jehoshaphat. And it's not just a small group. This is a multitude, and not just a multitude. It's a great multitude. There are three armies, three nations joined together coming at you. And Jehoshaphat is saying, what did I do? I didn't send somebody a bad email. I didn't tweet. What is this? Why are these guys coming after us? Why are they coming after me? What did I do? You see, sometimes trouble comes not because of anything you've done. Many times people face problems and we say, what did you do? You must have done something. That's what Job's friends told him. You must have done something. Because the God we serve is a good God. And if bad things are happening to you, you must have done something. Wow. You see, it's important for us to hear from God rather than come up with religious answers. Bad things happen to good people. That's right. Jehoshaphat was raised by the mother. And as you read the text right here in 2 Chronicles, it seems like the father had left. This was an abandoned child. Because the name of the mother means forsaken. So it's possible that a single mother raised Jehoshaphat. But the name of the mother is one that is armed. And so she was a strong woman. Gave birth to the mother of Jehoshaphat called Azubah. Forsaken. And you know, if you have been raised that way, you want people to like you. And what is happening to Jehoshaphat here is three nations, a great multitude, are coming after him and is wondering, why don't they like me? Why do these people not like me? Why are they coming after me? Are you in that place where your story is beginning to impact your present and you're just overwhelmed? So when the prophet spoke to Jehoshaphat and said to the host of Judah and Jerusalem, and says, and to you, King Jehoshaphat, don't you be afraid. This is not your battle. This is God's battle. God is going to fight this battle for you, and you're going to win this battle. You're not going to lose, you're going to win. Jehoshaphat considered that word. But today there's something I hear the Lord saying for us to do, because we're going to see it in the life of Jehoshaphat. As great as he was, the fact that somebody that was key in his life had stepped away from his life, the scarring of that cause him to make serious mistakes in his life. That he even joined himself with people he should not join himself with, just to feel loved. And how many times in our lives do we join ourselves with the wrong people just to be loved, just to be accepted, just to feel like I wasn't forsaken? There might be somebody here today. You've come from a broken home, and you just want to be loved. Just love me. I will do anything just to be loved. I pray and I declare today that whatever handicaps will try to sabotage God's perfect will in your life, that those handicaps be eradicated right now. That there will be healing deep within your spirit, your soul, and your body. That the memories of your soul, the memory of your body, will align with the Word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, of flour. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, wherefore the wilderness of Jeruel. Word Jeruel means taught by God. God says he will teach our children. Hallelujah. And in essence, what God was saying is, I'm going to win this battle for you. This is not your battle. But I'm going to do it in the place where I get to teach you something. You're going to learn something. Hallelujah. This experience is not just going to be an experience without learning. You're going to be educated about something. Praise the Lord. In fact, in every trial that we go through, there is a lesson to be learned. We win, but we learn. And when we learn, we grow. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the word of God continues. It says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle, verse 17. Set yourself. Get focused. Stand ye still. In other words, be focused, be steadfast. It is not your battle, but I want you to be focused and I want you to be steadfast. And see, this is what I want you to, while you are focused and steadfast, this is what I want you to see. See the salvation of the Lord with you. See the salvation of the Lord, what? With you. See the salvation of the Lord with you. See the salvation of the Lord with you. See the salvation of the Lord with you. What is the salvation of the Lord? The salvation of the Lord is the Lord. He says, he's saying, basically, I want you to be focused, I want you to be still, steadfast, and I want you to look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Stop looking at the problem. Yes, the problem is there, but that's none of your business. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. I don't want you pulling your hair out because you've got a problem. Cool. Chill out. This is my case. I'm going to take care of this for you. So I want you to just rest. You know, well, the greatest problem for us as believers many times is that we've not learned the act of rest. Just resting in God. Relying in God's ability. Relying and God's power to bring to pass His perfected will in our lives. We fret, we worry, we run around trying to make things happen. This morning, when I was here earlier, I was reflecting on the goodness of God. Talking to Him about different things. And I said to look at what we have accomplished here in the last 6 months in the midst of whatever it is that was happening. And all of it happening through the workings of grace, through His sons and daughters in this house, and sons and daughters, partners that committed and gave. And I reflected about the fact that while all of that was happening, there came a point when I thought, maybe I need to, you know, we're stuck at 70 grand right now, and our bill is way much more than that. Let me call some of my friends, some of my sons, and tell them, I need you to come alongside and support. I started out and I called one person, and person says, wow, that's amazing. You've raised so much money at such a short time. And I said, yeah. Then I said to the person, I said, you know what? Only send me something if God says something to you. Don't you send me a dime if God didn't give you direction. He's capable. He could clear out all of whatever it is that we wanted to raise like that and not sweat. Not sweat. I didn't get a dime. Not a dime. And I had some other names I wanted to call, and I started feeling, no. This is not God. This is me trying to get in the way of God. God says, be still. Yeah? Be still. Cool it. Don't get anybody involved in this. If I want them involved, I will involve them. It's not that God doesn't say, ask. Of course He says ask. David asked the saints to give. Solomon did. And all of that. There's a place for that. But the bottom line is this. That whatever it is that you do, know that you are being led by God, not by fear. Not by you getting worried. I can sanitize my concern and all of that and say, well, I wasn't really worrying. And sure I wasn't. But if you're not worrying, don't act like you are worrying. Faith overcomes. Hallelujah. God knows what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, when it needs to be done. That's why we never pressure. We will place the case before the saints and say, there is a need, but I'm not going to push it. Just let it know and let God do what He needs to do. Praise God. Jehoshaphat was plagued by a big problem. Where was this problem coming from? The Word of God tells us that the first group that were coming after him and Israel or Judah were the people of Moab. Moab is an ancestral son of Lot. When Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and his wife turned to a pillar of salt, his own daughters, slept with him. And one of the results is Moab, who's born out of incest. The Bible doesn't hide anything. But who is Lot? Lot is the one who tried to grab the blessing. But lost out at the end. Who is the next one that came after him? Ammon. Ammon is another son of Lot. Well, you know it? They also did not get that major blessing. Who is the third group? The people of Mount Seir. All of this is stated in verse 4 or verse 5 of chapter 20. The people of Mount Seir, who are these people? These are the sons, these are the people that came out of Esau. You remember Esau? He lost the blessing. So these are three groups of people who see Jehoshaphat and Judah blessed, and they want that blessing. And they think the way to get the blessing is to rob Jehoshaphat, recognizing not this fact that it is God that blesses, and God who blesses can take the blessing away. That you can get the land and still not be blessed. If God doesn't bring the rain, if God doesn't cause the plants to grow and cause your flock to blossom or to grow, that you will still be in the same mess. You will have the land and you still be broke. So many people think that the answer to the blessing in their lives is to rob somebody else of the blessing that's on their lives. Families fight, break their heads because they want an inheritance. Oh, that car, that house, those clothes, that jewelry, and so on and so forth. And they will do everything. I want that money in the bank. So it is $100,000. So it's $500,000. Guess what? It will all drain away. The house will fall apart. The roof will leak. The car get rusted. The TV will get old. That's not what you should fight about. The thing that you and I need is the blessing of God, the oil of God's goodness on our head. Because you see, when you are blessed, you reproduce whatever it is that came out of you because of the blessing. The blessing produced it, all of it. Hallelujah. The blessing produced it, and that blessing that produced it will continue to reproduce it again and again and again and again. Praise God. When the blessing came upon Abraham, and Abraham fathered Isaac, and Sarah was dead, that same man who now is 100 plus, who could not have children, had 6 more with another woman called Keturah. 6. Can you imagine? All of these years, no children, and now you have, wow. Because the anointing of God does not die. Praise God. The anointing does not die. Bible tells us that Judah gathered themselves together when Jehoshaphat got the bad news. It says, all Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. That's what we need to do. Whatever your challenge is, whatever the challenge is, ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. When you face challenges, go to the Lord. Seek Him. This same God who worked on behalf of Jehoshaphat will work on your behalf. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He still does the same things. Praise the Lord. So here's Jehoshaphat. What does Jehoshaphat do? In verse 6 through 9, Jehoshaphat began to talk to God. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Are you not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? You're not just ruling over the godly. You rule over the heathen. You are God. And you reign supreme. He says, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? It's reminding God of who he is. But as he's doing so, he's becoming very aware of who God is. That's what praise and worship does. Are you not God? Are you not the one who reigns over all things? And nobody can stand against you? Verse 8 or 7 says, art not thou our God? Not only are you God there, you are our God. This is where you need to bring your faith. You have a build that is beyond description, and you have no way to pay it. This is where you come, recognizing that God is your God and that he is your provider. You know what we do many times? We run to the bank first. Instead of running to the master, we run to the MasterCard. Instead of discovering the heartbeat of God, we run to the discovery card. Instead of knowing that God gives us access, we run to Visa. We try to find human solutions to the issues that we face when God is more than enough. Please hear. I'm not talking to you about what you do and things that I did not do, because I've been there. When I stand here, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm talking to me. Praise the Lord. Because we are all humans. That God has birth and are growing in the things of God. And we all face challenges. And the reality is that in the midst of those challenges, we make mistakes. We do the wrong thing. And the Word of God comes alongside and says, you see, it's what you got to do here. This is how you deal with this. And then by faith, we recognize that we have overcoming presence of God in us to do the right thing, in spite of the challenges that want us to do the wrong thing. I can step back and say, what will my Lord do? Father, what do you say about this situation? How do I deal with this situation? And he will give me direction and guidance. If God tells you to go borrow, then do so. After all, there was a woman whose sons were about to be taken. And she comes to the prophet and says to the prophet, my husband served. He did all the right things, and now he's dead. And I find out that we are so in debt, and the debtors want my children. They want to enslave my children. Man of God says, what do you have in your house? He said, I got a pot of oil. That's all you got? I said, yes. He says, go out and borrow as many pots as you can get. Bring it into the house, shut the door behind you, and take the oil that you've got in your pot and pour it into all of those pots that you bring. God used her little and produced much. So there are times when God will speak to you about borrowing. But he's not calling you to borrow so that you are in debt, but rather to bring you to a place where you have an expansion and you can increase what you've got and become a lender rather than a borrower. Hello? God's end is always better. But make sure that you are following the directives of God as you follow through with what God is calling you to do. Because what God has on his mind is victory. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So it says, see the Lord standing with you. Fear not. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Your salvation is going to be with you. And verse 18 says, I'm not helping too much my helpers over there. Today I'm skipping all over the place. I'm coming back, don't worry. He says, Jehoshaphat, in verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground. Humility. First of all, he began praising God, extolling his name, adoring him, letting God know that he knows, that God knows who God is. Praise God. He falls on his face on the ground. This is a king. Humility. He says, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. They did the same thing. Praise God. As he humbled himself before God in recognizing that only God could do this for him, everybody did the same. They all bowed themselves. They began to worship. Why? Because of the declarations of Jehoshaphat. Let's go back to verse 7. He's worshiping because he recognized that God was a God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham. You gave it to the seed of Abraham, and Abraham is your friend. Hallelujah. The one that we came from is your friend. And you gave him your word. And he's not just your friend then, he's your friend forever. And that is a serious statement, because when God blesses you, he blesses you with the blessings of Abraham. Hallelujah. When Jesus, our Lord, blesses you, he blesses you with the blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham were so humongous that God says, I can't even top this. I gave everything. Hallelujah. So when Jesus comes, he's going to have to take from this blessing of Abraham. Why? Because Abraham sacrificed everything. He gave his best. He brought his only begotten son, so to speak, because Ishmael didn't count, and laid him on the altar, took a knife, ready to sacrifice him, and God says, hold it. Don't do it. Now I know. Now I know. You are not in this because of what you're going to get. Because you already got it. And you're turning it over. Now, I'm going to give you everything I got. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing this. God committed to give Abraham everything he's got. That's right. And we are connected to that grace. So there is a conduit of blessing that is pouring into our lives that will not stop. Praise God. And the enemy is trying to steal it. Verse 8. He says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, we are in that blessing and we've built for you a sanctuary. And this is what we said. If when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. Somebody say, thy name is in this house. And we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Praise God. When was that promise made? It was made when Solomon was praying in the dedication of the temple in chapter 6 right through chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. God says, right there in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he says, if my people, hallelujah, praise God, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, are you God's people?
Yes.
Are we God's people?
Yes.
It says, if my people which are called by my name. I don't know if you got that. My people have my name. Come on. Come on. Oh my. They have my name. If they shall humble themselves and pray. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He fell on his face. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying if we're going to experience the victory of God, we've got to do as the word says. It doesn't just happen. And how are you going to do the word of God if you don't know the word of God? The word of God says, meditate on the word of God. Don't let this word depart out of your mouth. He says, by so doing, you're going to make your way successful. Yeah. You're going to make it prosperous. You're going to make it. Why? Because I've placed my name on you. And when I place my name on you, I have my stamp on you. That means I give you a blank check. It's my name. Hallelujah. My name. My name is going to open the doors for you. Because when you've got my name and you move in, my name will break limitations off of your life and establish you. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Please hear this. Because of the name of God on your life, favor is established. All that God is manifested in you. It's called the glory of God. He says, you said it. If we humble ourselves and we seek you, seek your face, and turn from our wicked ways, then you said that you will hear from heaven and will forgive our sins and heal our land. And guess what God does? Just like Solomon prayed, In verse 15, he says here, now mine eyes shall be open. Now mine eyes shall be open. What does that mean? Now shall my eyes be open. It means that before that, my eyes were closed. Closed, not because I don't see, closed because I'm not going to do nothing. He says, but now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. And Jehoshaphat is taking hold of that in 2 Chronicles 20. As he talks to God, says, God, this is what you've done for us. This is where we are. But there is these guys who did not stay with the promise, did not stay with the blessing, and went after their own thing. Sons of Lot and of Esau coming to try to take what belongs to us. And by the way, God, you told us not to mess with them when we're coming into the promised land. You told us to leave them alone. And we've left them alone, and now they're coming up. There are things that you have just put aside, and now it's become a problem. And God is saying to you, you are not a fool when you set it aside. When you did not push that. So you're not a fool. I'm going to take this battle. I'm going to fight this battle for you. I don't know who I'm talking to. But this is the word of the Lord to us today. Don't worry. I'm going to fight it. You may be dealing with a situation of an inheritance and somebody's trying to strip you of what you've got, God has given to you. Don't worry. This battle is my battle. I'm going to take care of this business. Hallelujah. You left that situation alone and said, just forget it, it's okay. And that person now comes, raises their ugly head, and they're trying to mess with the blessing that God has upon your life. God says, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of it. Because that's what happens. Sometimes you give people opportunity, and all of a sudden, they think they are all that. And they want to take you off of your seat of leadership. Of favor, because they can speak in tongues. They are now anointed, and they forget. I'm talking real stuff right now. How many leaders, pastors, have been sabotaged because they give somebody a chance? They let bygones be bygones. And that same person that you, I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to. But whoever it is that I'm talking to right now, please hear the word of the Lord. You may have given room to that person to come and say, let bygones be bygones. And they are there seated, and all of a sudden they start plotting against you again. Trying to rob you, I speak to you today in the name of the Lord. Don't sweat it. The battle is not yours. It's God's. You'll come out of this mess. You're going to come out of it. God will not let you be ashamed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God continues. Jehoshaphat, having heard the prophetic word that came out of Jahaziel, says to the people, and remember he had a weakness, but his weakness is going to play well because he wants consensus, you know, he wants to be loved. Yeah? So he chats with everybody, and he says, first of all, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And the Kohites and the Kohites, Levites, all of a sudden rose up and they began to sing the worship of God. The Bible says, praising God on high. High praises unto the Lord. It was spontaneous. They began to worship God. And Jehoshaphat then does this. There's nothing wrong about it. It says in verse 21, and when he had consulted with what? The people. I got to be loved. He had to talk with the king, consulting with the people. Nothing wrong. But you know there's a problem. He's consulting, discussing it. Then he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the enemy. Went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they began to sing and to praise, the word of God says, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. God ambushed them. God ambushed the people of Moab. God ambushed the people of Mount Seir. Now, when you start reading at the initial stage, it was Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. When we come to this verse, Ammon has switched place with Moab. So the enemy has a power struggle. Oh, glory. That's exactly what's about to happen to your enemy. They are going to begin to have problems. A house divided against itself shall not stand. It is a secret of the kingdom of God. There's a switch. And now the Bible says God ambushed them and they began to fight each other. The Bible says, he set up an ambushment and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the weaker group, Mount Seir, and utterly destroyed them. They slay and destroy them. These were three groups coming together to fight against Judah. And now before the battle starts, they've got problems in their camp. And two gang up on one, wipe that one off, and then they turned against each other. Oh, glory. And they wiped each other out. The Bible says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What did God do? He just ambushed them. Rise with me for a moment. Your enemy might be persons, demonic forces, things, whatever it is. But we're going to praise the Lord by saying, bless the name of the Lord. Say it with me. For his mercies endureth forever. My Lord and my God, ambush my enemies. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. There are things that you've been struggling with for years. things that have not been settled. But in this month of victory, hear me loud and clear. Believe the word of the Lord. Believe in the Lord, your God. So shall you be what? Established. Believe in his prophets. So shall you prosper. I'm saying to you right now, hear this. Your enemies are going to expose themselves. They're going to fight against each other. They are going to tell on themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They are going to counsel each other. You know, we live in the perfect time for this. Counsel culture. Huh? They're going to counsel culture themselves. Hallelujah. They're going to wipe themselves out. You are going to be standing and watching what's going on. Don't get involved. Stay out of it. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Stay out of it. Let them finish themselves. Praise God. They're going to wipe themselves out. Understand that this is happening with family members. These are all relatives. And God is intervening on this because he knows where the blessing is. The others sold their birthrights. The others try to grab stuff that they had no right to. And what does God say to Abraham when Lot goes out and grabs Sodom and Gomorrah, all that is going to be all burnt up to ashes? He says to him, he says, listen, Abraham, look that way, look this way, look that way, look that. Everywhere you see, all of it, plus the one that Lot went to collect, it's all yours. You know what that means? Don't sweat it. I think this message is more for me today than you. There are things that happen. And God is saying simply, don't worry. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to settle it properly. They wiped themselves out, destroyed themselves, and this is the deal. Oh, I love God. They were trying to move Judah out of the blessing. Come collect what Judah had. Well, what did God do? God told them when they were leaving their homes, collect all your treasures. Collect all of it. I move. They thought God was saying, collect all of your stuff because I'm going to move you to another place. You don't need to come back to where you are. No, but God was causing them to collect everything to bring it close so that Judah doesn't have to go looking for it. Amen. God sets the devil up all the time. That's why you need to let God just do his thing. He knows exactly, you know, he's thinking 20 steps on this chess game. 20 steps. He sees everything right through from the beginning to the end. So just do like Mama did. Follow that guy. Hallelujah. I remember something similar to that story. Many years ago, I was in Minneapolis. I went to Minneapolis to do some immigration stuff, and I just had just enough money to ride the bus to Minneapolis and ride the bus back. And I got there, and the immigration office was closed. I didn't have money to stay in a hotel. So I tried myself, first of all, to try to find the solution Maybe if I go to that church, maybe they will, you know, somebody will help me. And the churches were closed and cold. So I left, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know this city. I can't sleep on the street. I don't have money to go anywhere, no money for the hotel, no money for anything. God, I need your help. And God sent me somebody. The guy was coming towards me, and the Lord says to me, he says, go home with that guy. He's going to take care of you today. I've assigned him to take care of you. And this guy comes to me and said, he says, I heard you asking those people in that church about somewhere to stay. And they couldn't help you. He says, but if you don't mind, my house is a little distance from here. I would love to have you come and have supper with my family and have a place to rest. And tomorrow morning, I'll bring you back so you can catch your bus and go back home. I said, okay. So I did. I remember another time I was in California this time. I'm driving, and my vehicle had a problem. So I turned off an exit, and, you know, when I turned off that exit, I got lost. And this car gets stopped in the freeway traffic. So there's the road coming this way, the road coming this way, and the road coming this way. There's a dead end on this side. And I'm right stopped at the stop sign. The car died. I opened up the hood like I knew what to do. You know those people? Don't have a clue. But the hood is raised up, and I'm as if that's going to move the car. And cars were going, and all of a sudden another guy stopped on the other side, stopped, blocked traffic, comes across, sees me there, a white guy. And he looks at the car, and he says, I don't think you can do much with this car today. There's something wrong here and something wrong here. But the Lord told me when he was coming, he says, go home with that guy. Go home with him. I said, okay, Lord. So the guy comes, checks, and says, where are you going? Where are we planning? I said, I was going to Costa Mesa. How did you get this far? Do you know that you lost? I said, yes. He said, you're very far away from the freeway. He said, this guy's not going to move. So let's push it out of the way. So we pushed it out of the way. And I go home with this guy. I had the best ribeye steak. Hallelujah. Oh my, did I ever enjoy that? I don't even remember the guy. I don't remember his name, nothing. But I just remember I stayed in that house. The next day he came, did something to that car, managed to get it to my school in Costa Mesa, which at this point was maybe about 30 minutes away. And he came there and fixed the car. Are you listening?
Yeah.
That's God.
Yeah.
When you listen, he'll give you direction.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So what happened to these people? They bring all their wealth after they killed themselves. And Judah went and they collected all of the treasures. It took them 3 days. Someone say 3 days.
3 days.
Collecting precious jewels from dead bodies. Soldiers carrying jewels? That's not normal. But when you're dealing with God, you know what that means? It means that before they left Moab, left Ammon and Mount Seir to come there, God was already knew about it and told them to fill their pockets.
Yes.
Oh, he said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that whatever you are facing, God knew about it already. This is not a surprise. And he was using it to set you up for the blessing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready to receive the blessings of God?
Yes.
That's the important thing. Don't start worrying and start fretting about. Nothing is going to happen in your life that's going to surprise God.
Amen.
He's already working all things together for your good. That's why. Because he knows about it before it even got started. Hallelujah. The day before the thought came into their mind that they were going to go fight against Judah, God was ready. Said, tomorrow you're going to fight there, but you know what? Take all of this. Take your wife's stuff. That ring over there. Take it. The inheritance for the children. Take it. Put it in your pocket. Just gather everything. You're going on a move. You're moving. They thought they were going to a move that was going to profit them, but it was a move that was going to damn them. The one that set their eyes to come against you thought they were trying to do God a favor, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they will find out that this was a setup, not for their good, but for your good.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you receive that word?
Yes.
March is my month of what?
Victory.
Receive your victory right now. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, what we don't know, you know. What you know, we might not know. But this we do know, that you are God, and you know all things. You see all things, you understand all things. And your earnest desire is to bless us and make us a blessing. So Lord, today we position ourselves, focused and steadfast in faith, to receive the manifold blessings that you have. Fight for us. Fight for us. Fight for us, O God, as individuals. Fight for us as families. Fight for us as a congregation, as a church. Fight for us as a ministry. Fight for us, O God, against every enemy that wants to take away from us that which you have given to us. You have given to us freedom. Therefore, whatever wants to rob us of our freedom, Father, shut it down immediately. Let those, O God, that are trying to rob us of our freedom and our blessings begin to fight themselves and cancel themselves out. Let the fallout be so drastic that the blessings and the jewels of blessings, O God, we gather. O Father, your word says, O God, that for 3 days Judah gathered the jewels, the treasures, and on the 4th day, they came to the valley of Baraka, the valley of blessings. Father, we come, O God, into the place that was supposed to be a valley. Lord, O God, even there we are blessed. We are blessed in the valley and we're blessed in the mountaintop. In every realm and everything in between, your glory is resting upon us. And Lord, O God, we will not make the wrong choices. Let the scars that cause us, O God, to compromise at any point be eradicated now. And let your manifold blessings abound towards us, your church. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank God for the opportunity once again to share the word of God with us. This happens to be the last Sunday of the month. So this Sunday, we are going to honor God with our tithes and our offerings. But we are going to give also a second offering, and that second offering is for missions. Amen? I mentioned that to you. We started last Sunday of February. So we're going to continue this, and it's going to be something that we do consistently. Amen? So today we're going to just release that which God has given to us. I know that you can put both in one envelope, because there's missions in your envelope, but my preference is for us to just have a separate envelope for that missions every time we come, and separate it from your regular giving. Amen? So just come, let's honor God with our giving. Those that are online, you have the information and already. So just release that which God has placed in your hand by faith, and trust Him to bless that which He has given to you. Yes, let's trust Him. I encourage you to go and continue with the chapter. I didn't hint, as I shared the word this morning with you, about how things that happen in our lives can influence the decisions we make. The very fact that Jehoshaphat had an interesting background affected him in particular ways, where his desire to be loved caused him to embrace relationships that he should not embrace. He joined with a king, and they built ships together. And the prophet of God says, what are you doing? Working with a guy who hates God so deeply just because you want to be loved. All of your investments of all those ships, gone. Same spirit caused him to join with Ahab. And again, the prophet of God came. Says, what are you doing? May you and I never allow past experiences, hurts, to influence the decisions that we make and cause us to join with wrong things and wrong people. May your heart always beat for God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as we take of this body and of this cup today, I pray not only that we experience victory over enemies that are coming against us, but enemies within. Things that we do that sabotage the will of God for our lives. It's not enough for us to do certain things righteously and then have other issues, but may we be healed completely. That's why Jesus, our Lord, came. So, does everyone have their elements? If you don't have an element for communion, just raise your hand. Okay, everybody's okay? As you take off this body today, I want you to say these words. Lord, heal me.
Lord, heal me.
Within.
Within.
And without.
And without.
Destroy the enemies outside.
Destroy the enemies outside.
And the enemies within.
And the enemies within.
So that in every front.
So that in every front.
I walk in the fullness.
I walk in the fullness.
Of grace.
Of grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I'm a victor.
I am a victor.
Not a victim.
Not a victim.
Not now.
Not now.
Not ever.
Not ever.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. I, Lord God Almighty.
Remember.
Remember.
Jesus.
Jesus.
And I'm put together.
And I'm put together.
As He is altogether.
Amen.
Amen. Take and eat. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we heard so much today. May God fight every battle for every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
And may we take the victory.
In Jesus' name.
May we take all the spoils that the enemy has been hoarding. We receive them now.
Yes, Lord.
We take back our peace.
We take back our families. We take back our job. Our business.
Our career, our ministry, and everything God has assigned to us. We'll take them now.
We take the goodness of God.
We lean on God.
And we only depend on Him.
We thank you, Lord, for deliverance from all affliction and from the hands of all our enemies. Lord, deal with all of them. May our enemies fight against themselves. And may we have the victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. So I take of this cup of blessing. And only the blessing is mine.
Only the blessing is mine.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This time, we'd like to share the announcements for the rest of the month and into the new month. And for those that are listening online on Zoom, we bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We thank God for you. And may you continue to be strengthened by the grace of God.
Amen.
Same for those on YouTube.
Praise
be blessed
God.
And be highly favored of the Lord.
Shalom.
Shalom. Blessings. All right, announcements.